You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that is the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I am your host, Jason Dowd, and we have a jam-packed show for you guys. We're going to be talking about a couple of different things that have come up in the news, and we're going to be doing something so unique. I've never done this before, and we are going to go to the red carpet, and we are going to talk to the stars of the brand new Little Mermaid film that just came out here. It debuted in Tampa at a world premiere. So I got to walk the red carpet. I got to talk with some amazing actors and actresses and producers and directors. It was just a star-studded night, and I was in seventh heaven. These guys were phenomenal. I had such a great time with them. I made new friends along the way as well, and I think that was really exciting for me. And it's definitely a night I'll never forget. So I'm going to be going to the red carpet. We're going to be interviewing some of the stars from that movie and some of the producers and directors as well. So before we get into anything else, please check us out at www.theamemagazine.com anytime you want. All you have to do is go to the website and you'll see the links to our magazine, radio, and television networks. So just click on one of those and see what we got. If we haven't done it yet, you'll see it in the upcoming. And if you have missed it and we've already done it, it's going to be in the archive stuff. And you'll also be able to get all of our links to our social media platforms, so like us or follow us, whatever the terminology is there. And you can get our free apps for our Apple and Android platforms. You can also sign up for our newsletter. So there's lots of ways to keep in contact with the AME Radio Show. And we're excited to be able to offer those to you as well. Okay, guys, so now I want to talk to you guys about something, and I'm going to banter back and forth a little bit, but I'm gonna make a point of it in the end, trust me. But just bear with me a little bit because I do have a cold, and I am coughing, and I don't feel very good, so my head's a little foggy. But we'll get through this, and we'll get to our interviews here in just a few minutes. But let's start off with this question. When you see a character on television, do you believe that they are that character in real life? And when you hear music, do you believe that those people wrote that music for you? Now, you may say yes, or you may say no. But I've heard a lot of people believe that the people that they portray on the television or movies, those characters, that they are really like that in real life, 100%. Or that they are that character and they can't see past it. I'll tell you a good example of that. Stephen Urkel. Man, Jaleel White has always been in the shadows of Stephen Urkel. And he said it himself. It has completely branded him, and people cannot see him for the person he truly is. They just see him as Stephen Q. Urkel. And this happens a lot. Now, with music, you know, music is very spiritual in many different ways. It can touch people. It can send you into times where you had great experiences or bad experiences. It can remind you of people that have come and gone in your life. And a lot of the times, people believe that when these songs are being sung, that they're sung for them. And in many ways, that could be true. But when the person physically wrote it, I don't think that they meant that it was exactly for you. It just happens to fit your scenario. But regardless of what happens, we see these people on television, we see these people in the radio, hear these people on the radio, and we have this, like, almost a connection with them. And with social media, it's even harder now to differentiate that, because we feel like we have that special relationship, like they are our friend. And people act like they know exactly who these people are. The problem with it is we don't. The people that they portray on these television shows or movies or whatever it may be, they are a character. And that may not reflect who they really are. I've seen some wickedly horrible people do these characters, and they portray an amazing person who's caring and loving and would give you the shirt off their back. But on the other hand, outside of the studio, they would spit on a bum. They would steal from a bum. They would do horrible things to them. Because that's who they really are. And same with musicians. I mean, with musicians, you kind of expect some weird stuff to happen, especially rock and roll. Come on. That is the rock and roll persona. They go into these luxurious hotels and they smash them up. They do drugs. You know, they do all that kind of stuff. We know that. We expect it. But we still have a huge gape in our heart when we find out that they did do it. And one of the people recently that I've seen that is going through a lot of backlash is Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato went to the hospital for a heroin overdose. And luckily she survived and she is trying to get rehab for it. But the problem with it is that Demi plays these amazing roles on television. You've seen her in Princess Protection Program. You've seen her in Barney. You've seen her on a bunch of Disney shows, Camp Rock. You know, you didn't see that there was a problem with her. So you see this sweet, helping, outgoing woman that wants to change people's lives and make an impact in them somehow, some way, through her work. And that's respectable. But what we didn't see was a side of her that she has bipolar. And she was around people that got her into drugs a long time ago. And bipolar people, because I know a bunch of them, tell me that they decided to do drugs because it helps them cope with their problem. Obviously, there are a lot better ways, but this is how they decided to do it. It's called self-medication. And maybe that's what got Demi into it. Maybe it's not. But with somebody that has bipolar, what we realize is that stress affects us differently. With actors and actresses, I didn't realize how hard the job was. You know, you look on these television screens and you see that, man, they're making amazing things. Their life must be perfect. They drive nice cars. They wear designer clothes. And that's what we've been programmed to believe. But in the real life of a entertainer or an artist, we don't know where our next meal is coming from. There are a lot of actors and actresses that have one role and never get another role again. Then we see some that have had 17, 18 roles in a 2 or 3 year span. Then we've seen some that have had one role and they don't get another one for 6 months. That is very stressful. Not only that, you sit there and you realize that as an artist or entertainer, whatever you do is going to be seen by the public, which means you're going to have one or two reactions. People are going to love it or people are going to hate it. And unfortunately, people don't like to hide their comments. And sometimes they can be extremely brutal if they don't like it. And these people put themselves out in front of this all the time. So with somebody like Demi that actually has a problem, a mental disability, that is a problem. That can weigh on her harder than it would anybody else. It's easy to say just blow it off, but it's not always that easy. So now that Demi had this, a lot of people think less of her as a person. And some people have overgushed on her and would give their own lives to protect her and make her whole again. You can't do that. See, that's the problem. They are humans. They are able to make mistakes, whether we like it or not. They are going to make mistakes. And we shouldn't judge their mistakes any more than the guy down the street that does the same thing. As human beings, we should be compassionate to everybody that is going through a situation and try to take into consideration everything that could have caused this to lead up to it. Now, there are some crimes that I believe that it doesn't matter what happens in your life, there is no excuse. But for a lot of the situations, like Demi, she only really hurt herself. She had enough money to survive and feed this habit. But a lot of people don't. And what they do is they go out there and they steal, they destroy other people's lives. They become a leech on society for that high or whatever it is that they're dealing with. So what I'm trying to say is their characters and their actual people that play those characters are two different things. We cannot hold them to a higher standard than anybody else because they're just like us. It's equal to us. They just play something that's probably a little bit more fabulous than our job at work. So when they mess up, they're going to mess up like us. We got to sit there and just like the neighbor down the street, we got to build them up. And if we build up everybody and not judge them because of who they are, this world will be an amazing place. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got our first interviews coming up from the red carpet. You won't want to miss this, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in after this.
I'm Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladdysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com.
Hey guys, it's Lily Mae Silverstein playing Penny in my new movie, Alex and Me, which will come out digitally on June 19th, so go check it out.
Hi everyone, my name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
Hey, it's your girl, Alicia G, on AME Radio. Be sure to listen to my new song, Cash and Nap, and be sure to follow me on all my social media at Alicia G World. Love y'all.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here in Tampa. I'm not in the studio today, and that's okay, because I'm going to be chilling out here with two stars from a brand new movie called The Little Mermaid that's coming out, and it's not Disney's version of The Little Mermaid. This is actually off of a book that was written in 1837 by Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale version of it, and I'm very excited to be able to talk to them about their roles and how they got into acting and what we're going to see tomorrow night at the premiere. So welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us. Very excited.
So today I have right here with me, I have William Mosley. He is part of the Royals. He's in a new thing called It's Like Flynn, and he plays Cam Harrison from the movie, which is the uncle looking to help his sick niece in the movie. And also we have Poppy Drayton. She is from Downton Abbey, and she plays the mermaid on The Little Mermaid.
I do, yeah. That's correct.
So this is going to be a lot of fun. Is this like your first premiere that you guys have ever been to, or have you been to more? So kind of fill me in, because I've never been to one of these things.
I've been very fortunate that I've been to a few premieres before, so this isn't my first, but I'm very excited to be here.
How about you?
I've been to one or two, probably not as many as William, but yeah, hugely, hugely excited to be here in the lovely Tampa, although it's raining quite catastrophically as we speak, and lots of thunder and lightning, so it's a bit ominous, but it's lovely to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the tropical season. So kind of give me a little background about your acting careers. What made you want to be an actor? We'll start with you, Poppy.
My mum's an actress, first of all, so I grew up hearing her stories of the stage. She worked in the West End for 12 years, and so I grew up hearing lots of stories, and it fed a love of it from pretty early on. And then I was always that kid that was always hunting out the drama clubs and stuff at school, so I did a lot of that. And then I decided to go to drama school when I was 17 and applied to lots and was lucky enough to get into Arts Ed in Chiswick and trained there for 3 years and got a first class honours degree and then graduated and started working. So I was pretty lucky. So touch wood, that carries on.
How about you? How'd you get into it?
I just, you know, was an extra when I was a kid and liked it and wanted to do acting, and then I got my first job when I was 17, and I started working from there and I've steadily kept working, which has been great.
So this is a pretty interesting movie, and like I said, it's not exactly like the Disney version of Little Mermaid. So give me your interpretation of what this movie is.
My interpretation of this film is that it isn't obviously the Disney adaptation. It isn't their Little Mermaid. This is a small film with a big heart, and really was a labor of love for the crew and the cast and the filmmakers. We were all very excited to make this story of a Little Mermaid. I didn't think that I would be a part of a film as beautiful as this, and I really tried to put everything I could into the story. I know everybody gave everything they had to it. And I think that will come through. You know, we didn't have a huge budget, but we had enough to make something beautiful. So, you know, for going forward, I think audiences will kind of embrace this fairy tale for the film that it is.
How about you? What's your interpretation of the movie?
I think the movie, following on from what William said, has a lot of heart. It has a lot of soul to it, because we all really rallied together throughout the filming process to really make something seemingly quite impossible possible. We were up against it because we had kids, which they say never to really make a movie with kids, and we had water, which again was a pretty big task to try and manage that, and we also had lots of animals running about the place. So, and that on a small budget with a limited amount of time is a pretty big feat. But we really galvanized together, and we all believed in the story, Blake Harris's story, so strongly, and it meant so much to all of us who read it, and we were immediately just kind of captivated by it, and decided to make it happen and to make it a reality. So yeah, it was a real labor of love, as William's just said.
Well, while you got the microphone, what did you like the most about playing your character?
That's a good question. Well, I really relished the opportunity to practice my swimming, because I wasn't the strongest swimmer when I started, but I luckily had 2 months to train up before we started shooting. So I took myself to my local pools every day and went up and down and up and down for hours, and worked on my breath holds and worked on little like twirls and tricks that I could do under the water. So it was a really physical role for me to get, and I really relished the opportunity to train up before I started. And in terms of from a character point of view, what my favorite thing about her was probably just her serenity and her beautiful calmness, that I think I definitely learned a lot from playing her, and tried to keep that and maintain that in my own life.
Well, before we pass the mic around, because you said something was pretty interesting, serenity. How did you come up with a serenity? How did you make that a reality?
Well, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of research into water, even though that sounds ridiculous, but I did. I did a lot of research into fish and the movement of dolphins and different... really tried to immerse myself in the underwater world. So I was, for 2 months, I was just watching every like blue planet that I could possibly watch, and learning about different fish and different sort of aquatic creatures and animals, and doing lots of research into mermaids and sirens and the mythology behind them, and following any story I could find about mermaids. So I was really trying to delve down deep into some research before I started, to try and capture this otherworldly quality that she obviously has as a mermaid.
And you know, one more thing about that too, before, because I got questions for
no,
all
don't
of
worry.
You guys, this is gonna be fun. I saw in the preview that you were actually like in a box swimming. Were you really in a box swimming, or was that computer graphic?
No, I was really in a box swimming. That was my first day on set, and I just had come off a flight, I think, the day before, and that was a night shoot, so I think I slept for about all of 3 hours, and then arrived on set and was chucked in a little tank. But it was great. I bloomin' loved it. And then we went down to a mermaid theme park that you guys have near here called Wiki Wachi.
Yes.
And had the chance to play around there for a few hours that day, which was fabulous. And we got to sort of hang out with all the fish and the manatees and the turtles, and I'd be I'd be down under the water and I'd hold my breath and I'd be swimming along and I'd look behind me and there'd be a little turtle just following my fin. So that was a pretty special day at work when a turtle follows you. So yeah, it was great.
Now, William, this is your turn. So what I want to know is pretty much the same thing. What did you find the most interesting about your character and what made you want to play him?
Yeah, I mean, really, he's almost an older brother. He's an uncle, but he's almost an older brother. So I liked that aspect of the story, that he's taking care of his niece. I liked the fact that he was a news reporter who was slightly cynical of the whole thing, and that he had an arc to go on himself, that, you know, he was the cynical reporter to this young man that believed in love and believed in mermaids and sort of went on a fantasy journey himself.
You know, I guess it wouldn't be too hard to say, you know, mermaids really don't exist, you know, because they're technically a myth.
They
we've never seen one.
They do exist. Yeah.
So what was your, how did you make sure that you played that cynical role so you didn't make sure that, you know, you gave it away, you know?
Well, it was in the script. <I'm joking. laughs> I don't know, you know, like, I don't know, you just kind of just literally play the scenes, you know. I don't really know what you do as an actor, but sometimes you just say the lines, you believe what you're saying, and you just go with it, you know. Like I said before, some stories you really want to think through and research and study and do all this work, but other ones you just want to like flow with it and just not think too much, not stress too much, and just let the dialogue and the script do the work for you.
Because, I mean, I always want to believe in stuff. So for me, I would be having a hard time playing that type of role because I want to believe that there's mermaids out there. And yeah. I want to believe that there's ghosts out there. I want to believe that this stuff exists because I think it's fascinating.
Right. But you wouldn't do if it's in this group.
Right.
Do you believe
in mermaids?
I guess I do now. I mean, I have to. I didn't believe in mermaids before I did this. So I suppose I do now. Yeah, you know, I think with any kind of acting, it's imagination, you know. Yeah. Poppy isn't a real mermaid, you know, she wasn't...
Are you sure?
The girl playing my niece didn't have a respiratory issue, but you just use your imagination and the rest works for you. That's how, I think, that's why people love theatre so much, because, you know, the audience is participating in the imagination with the actors on stage. You know, they're seeing it themselves, you know, you're seeing it as an actor, and it's fun, and everyone's almost having an individual experience because they're using their imagination. We didn't have CGI in this film at all, which I think a lot of people would imagine that we would have.
It looks like it was.
It does look like it was, and it wasn't. Nothing was CGI'd at all. Everything is as you see it, and so... you know, that made it easier for us. We, you know, Poppy was really swimming with the tail and everything, and really, there, you know, sometimes there isn't a lot of time to overthink things, especially on this film. We were shooting very quickly. Mm-hmm. I think we shot the film in 30 days, which for a fantasy action adventure period piece is unheard of, and we didn't have time to sort of stress and think. We just sort of did it, and I think that has proven to be a good thing.
Well, see, that's exactly why you guys do what you do, and I get to talk to you guys about it. You know,
exactly.
You guys make it work. Now, as far as your character, was there anything that you had to learn to try to overcome? Like, it was difficult for you to play, or did it just kind of come naturally to you?
It all came pretty naturally to me. You know, there was a scene that we shot on a boat I was talking about before, where we were in the middle of the night, and we had to do a love scene, and we were, you know, nobody. Sometimes this people hadn't thought that a great big again, I've forgotten what they call steamboat has like a, you know, a petrol engine that's with a turning wheel that is really loud and pumping out carbon dioxide into your face. You're trying to do a love scene where you're like, you know, she's in love with him, but he's in love with her, but there's unrequited love, and we're both sort of coughing, you know, like up this, like, you know, this like gasoline smell. So that scene was a bit of a challenge, but other than that, everything else kind of ran pretty smoothly. Yeah.
How about you, Poppy? Was there anything that you had to overcome that was difficult for you to portray as your character?
For me to portray as my character, I think one thing I had to overcome pretty early on was just getting used to the tail. Because the tail, obviously I'd done all this training beforehand, which was great. But when I arrived, I hadn't kind of calculated for the weight of the tail. The tail was really quite heavy. It was about half my body weight. So trying to stay afloat in the water when I was meant to stay afloat on the water, like on the surface of the water, was a bit of a struggle. And just getting used to it, getting used to how it moved and how the water took the weight of it and how that affected my speed in the water and how it affected my quality of movement in the water. So there were lots of little adjustments that had to be made once I'd got in the actual tail. And then just kind of the funny moments of that too, when I was out of the water and I had to be carried around, obviously, because I can't obviously walk in a mermaid tail. So I had two lovely people who were in charge of taking me to and from set, which I think is the most unusual way I've ever got to set before, for sure. So yeah, the tail took a bit of adjusting, but it was all exciting. It was all a bit of an adventure.
Was it daunting at first, like hitting that water and you know that there's a tail there, you don't have your legs that you're used to? You know, I mean, that would kind of like give me like a shock a little bit. I guess that's what fish feel like if they get pulled out of water.
Yeah, I suppose. Just the opposite. Yeah. And I suppose I did feel a bit like a fish when I was out of the water. So I actually preferred being in the water with the tail on than out of the water with the tail on, because obviously the weight of the water in the tail meant that it was sort of quite just sort of crushed your ankles a little bit. So it was actually better to be in the water and to just sort of stay there and bob along and just spend my time in the tank in between takes, which often I did.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't seen this movie yet, obviously, because we're all going to see it tomorrow. And I heard that the writing to this was phenomenal. Tell me, what was your take of the writing? Did you like how it was written? Did you like how it flowed?
I loved it. I remember my agent sent it over to me and mentioned that they were, you know, wanting to hire me to play the mermaid. And so I read it and I automatically fell in love with it. I just thought it was such a beautiful story and so enchanting and magical and whimsical, and I loved the visual worlds that Blake created, and his he has such a wonderful sensibility for fairy tales and for to capture people's imaginations. And I think he captured everyone's imagination so hugely on this job, and a lot of us were there and managed to sort of to battle through quite difficult filming conditions. I mean, there were lots of thunderstorms and that we were chasing time a lot of the time and chasing light, and they were quite sort of strenuous, stressful filming conditions, and I think if it hadn't been for Blake's incredible script, we probably wouldn't have been able to pull it all together. But because everyone was absolutely besotted with the story, it just made us all really come together and make it happen, which is brilliant. There's a film at the end of it which people can watch.
Do you agree?
Yeah, you know, the film's come together really, really well, and I think people will fall in love with the story. It's there hasn't been a live action mermaid film ever, I don't think, as far as I'm aware.
I don't think so either.
So this is the first, and I think people were very skeptical about making a mermaid story, especially without CGI, without a big studio behind them. And so this is a very ambitious project. And on top of that, you know, the filmmakers Blake Harris and Rob Malloy, Armando Gutierrez, also chose to set it in a circus. In a period piece, you know, with it being a period piece, so it was a very ambitious film, and I think all of those elements have actually helped us. You know, there were challenges on the way, of course. You know, we were very tight on our schedule, but I think it's really paid off, and there are lovely set moments throughout the story. You know, Poppy has a song. You know, there's things on a boat. There's diving and all kinds of things. So I can't see why people wouldn't like it. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, that thing's got a lot of interest for me because I love that old carnival feel.
Me too.
You know, I love it. And it freaks me out, but it's really cool. And the lighting was phenomenal.
It was
beautiful. I mean, I sat there, looked at it, I'm like, this is a work of art. You know, as a photographer myself, I love how that came out. And then to find out that there's no CGI in this thing, I'm like, this thing better get nominated for some type of Emmy or something along the way. And hopefully you guys will get one too. Because this thing's going to be phenomenal.
I hope so. You know, we we didn't know how it was going to come out. We knew we loved the script, and we were fortunate enough that we liked working together, which made it easier. Specifically for myself, I love working with myself, so that was always great. I just think it's... You know, films. You know, films come and they go, and you don't really know what's going to happen with them. You don't know how they're going to come out when they're edited, when they're shot, however it's going to be. You just do your job, and this is one of those fortunate ones that's kind of taken off, or it feels like it's about to.
Now, before this, did you guys ever meet each other before, and are you guys friends now and hopefully forever?
We hate each other.
You hate each other?
No, we had actually met a few years before. We met when I was about 21, and we screen tested for a project together, and then weirdly we screen tested again a couple years later for a different project, and then it's kind of third time lucky, and we got to work together on this, and it's been a joy. It's been really nice, and we luckily get on really well, otherwise it could have all been a nightmare. But no, we had a blast, so it was great.
So let's have a little bit of fun behind the scenes. Who was the mischief maker and the jokester behind the scenes, if there was one?
Loretto,
yeah, probably Loretto.
I was a little bit below her mental age, which is 11. so we had a good time. She taught me a lot of jokes and things and games. And having a 12-year-old on set is basically the best thing ever.
It is.
You don't feel bad about playing childish games or, you know, like doing like hand clapping or like making jokes or doing stupid things. What was that? Oh, yeah, the owl sound. We did the owl sound. We did everything. So for me, it was really fun. Like I feel like I'm not really much older than 12. So I had a fantastic time, and fortunately Poppy degraded herself down to our level.
I tried to. It was very hard.
It's very tough.
Oh my God, I'm the same way. I would be 6-7 years old.
Everyone is inside. That's the thing. People just deny it themselves.
What was one of the best pranks that were played, or just jokes that were played on somebody?
Well, yeah. Well, so I was saying earlier that Poppy couldn't make this owl sound that I taught Loretto in about 10 minutes, but Poppy still can't do it. And like, it actually,
it's really hard. In my defense, it's really hard.
Look, I can do it right now. Wait, okay, maybe I can.
The proof is in the pudding.
Oh my God, I can't do it. One second.
Well, let's hear you do it now.
I tried to do this for weeks. I would love it if I could do this right now.
So what do you got? So what do you got to do? You got to put your hands together and blow through a hole.
Yeah, it's like a stupid game. You got this, and then you have to blow downwards. Okay. No, you still can't do it. See,
it's really hard.
Only 12-year-olds can do.
Well, then I must be about 4. Yeah, okay, that's good. Oh, that's good. So, any regrets on the movie, or any things that you would do it again if you had a chance? Poppy, we'll start with you.
Wow, what a question. No regrets, actually. I don't think it's good to have regrets. So I would say, I think everything happened and played out as it should, and it was definitely tricky and taxing at times, but I think that just made it what it was, It made the journey even more incredible when we got to the finish line and we had overcome all these small little challenges that we had en route. And there's always challenges with making movies. You never, like, making movies is never easy. So I think, I think overcoming those little challenges made it all the more fruitful when we got to the end.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, if I could have had added something, I wish we could have had a real train. You know, that was one thing that we didn't have, and we used it as like a set, and it was all kind of doubled. And to me, there were two things, really. I'd have loved to have been able to show the exterior of like Boston and the exterior of where my character started from, you know, in the 1930s, which would have been amazing. But that's obviously out of our budget. And then also a real train was, again, out of our budget. But both those two things would have really been just for us, they would have been fun, you know. And but that's fine, you know. I don't think it affects the story, and we made it work, and it looks beautiful as is. Yeah,
Well, see, that's what I love about, you know, doing these things and getting creative is that you can take what you have and make it work. And exactly. If you can do that, exactly. Then you succeeded. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's phenomenal. So I guess let's, we got about maybe 5-6 minutes left or something like that. So let's kind of learn about you. What do you like to do when you're not on set? What's some of your hobbies? What are some of the things you love to do or see?
I am a merman.
Shh, can't tell the secret.
Merman.
That's
one of my favorite movies. I love surfing. I love surfing. It's really hard to get me out of the surf. I was surfing the day before yesterday in Cornwall, which is great. And then I love traveling around. I love just going places. I don't know. Like, you can always see something different in the world. You know, when you're traveling, it's fun. And sometimes I've just taken jobs, like film jobs, just to go and see that country because I wanted to go there, which I don't think there's anything really wrong with that. I don't know. I just spending time with my family and that sort of thing. Yeah.
So what's one of the biggest waves you've ever ridden?
One of the biggest waves I've ever ridden? It was the biggest wave I've ever ridden. Because it wasn't probably the biggest, but it was the scariest. It was in Australia. And I was working on a film actually in Australia where these perfect waves are. Funnily enough,
right.
And I went out to the rocks because you couldn't paddle round because it was too big. So you had to sort of go in off this point. And I was with my brother and I was thinking, oh god, this looks really scary. Actually, this is a lot bigger than I thought. And I started walking down the rocks, and I see to my right there's like flowers where somebody had died or drowned.
Oh my goodness!
I was thinking, oh my god, this is a really bad idea. But of course, I didn't turn back. I kept going, and as soon as I got into the water, my brother just paddled left, like just to get out of these waves, and he went off somewhere else. And I just fortunately got to the back. But it was huge. It was like double overhead, and it's what's called a shore break, mm-hmm. which means it's like it's really pounding down. And I spent like 20 minutes just watching a couple of guys dropping in. And eventually, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And I dropped in, and I felt myself airborne for a second, you know, like where I wasn't in the wave at all.
Yes.
It was a horrifying feeling. And I thought, oh my god, if I hopefully we'll land this wave, you know, because if I don't, this is going to be horrendous. Unfortunately, I did land it. Unfortunately, I made it. But I didn't surf another wave for the rest of the day. That was really it for me.
Yeah, I did it. I could see why.
That was really it.
I was in San Diego, and my grandfather took me out to the beach, and it was the first time I've ever been into, like, a California wave. And yeah. I was, like, maybe about, I was about 10, 15, yeah. You know, I was out there, and I was treading above water. You know, I could not touch the bottom. Then all of a sudden I'm touching the bottom of this the ground there, and I look back and I can hear the thing roaring at me. I was like, oh no, I am screwed. I didn't have a board, and so the thing sucked me up to the top of this thing, right? And I tried to like body surf it, and you had the completely helpless feeling, and you know that it's going to crash and there's nothing to stop you. You're going to hit that beach hard. Yeah. I hit really hard. I kind of look like Evel Knievel coming off of a trip that just did not work.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Yeah, you know, like the moments like that mm-hmm. are fun and they're great, but it's also like you don't want to do it too many times.
That's right.
You know, it's like I don't know. It was a fun wave, but I don't know if it was really worth it, to be honest.
Never again.
Yeah.
How about you, Poppy? What do you love to do when you're not on set?
Definitely not surfing after all of that. I love to travel too. I love to see the world. I love to go on adventures, and I have a little film camera that I take around with me, and I love to take pictures with that and then go and get them developed. So just to sort of travel, really, my main one.
What's been the coolest or most exotic place you've ever been to?
Oh, good question. Well, India was pretty special. I went to India for 2.5 weeks, and that was a pretty lovely experience. I went with 10 friends, and we traveled all around Rajasthan, and then went down to Goa, and then out of Mumbai, and went on an overnight 10-hour sleeper train from Goa to Mumbai, which was pretty incredible, with chickens running up and down the center aisle of the train. So that was kind of wild, but yeah.
Where have you been to the places that you most want to visit, or you have one more on the bucket list?
No, there's still so much to explore. Japan's definitely high up on the list.
That sounds cool. Yeah, expensive.
All right. Negative Nancy. Yeah.
It's just like, what people don't realize about Japan, not that there's anything bad about Japan, I love Japan, but it's a lot of mountains. Japan is really...
I love mountains.
Mount Fuji.
If you like mountains, like, yeah, then it's great.
Yeah.
But all of the land that is like... A lot of the land is just fielded. You know, you can't really go on it. But, you know, obviously, Kyoto is absolutely incredible.
See, I think, so I think if I could travel anywhere right now and I had the one choice, I think I'd want to go see the Great Pyramids. I'd want to climb to the very top of it. I know they don't allow you to do it, but I'd have to find a way up there somehow.
In the middle of the night, like x-ray goggles on. Yeah, do it.
That's right.
You know, you aren't allowed to go for like spiritual reasons.
But it'd be worth it. Exactly. The view for a quick second would be great as you're tumbling down afterwards. Exactly. But yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think that I'd love to go actually see, you know, climb through the pyramids or see some of these places that are out there. Mm. And I've been seeing stuff on television where they take like this infrared stuff and you can see into the desert below it. And there's so many civilizations that they haven't even seen down there. Exactly. That's got to be cool.
Same as in the ocean, they can now see so far down. It's incredible.
And I think, I know it sounds absolutely horrifying to most people, but I think I'd like to go see Antarctica. It's cold. There's nothing down there.
My grandfather did it when he was 86.
Really?
My grandfather? Yeah. Oh, one of my ancestors did it. No way.
It's really cool. Yeah, yeah. He did it when he was 86. So it's definitely doable.
I think. Oh, yeah. I think it is definitely doable, and I think it's one of those things I want to try.
You should definitely do it.
Would you want to do that?
I'll go with you.
All right.
We'll do it tomorrow.
We'll go pick on those walrus seals or whatever
they are.
Or elephant seals. That's what it is, the elephant seals. So, guys, we're just about out of time. Tell us how, obviously the premiere's tomorrow in Tampa here, but where will people be able to see this? Is it going to be in theaters everywhere?
It comes to 100 theaters across the states. Next, is it 200?
200.
Up to 200
100 theaters across the country. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see this thing, and like I said before we started the interview, this is actually at a historic theater that's been around since the 1920s. It was actually started during the silent film era, and it's a gem of Tampa, so this is a lot of fun. And the only other premiere that I know of that I've seen it through their history is the 101 Dalmatians, so this is like the second one ever at this place, so I'm really excited about that. So are you guys going to be having fun at the red carpet?
Yeah, I think we are.
Penguins, apparently.
I'm hoping it's a blue carpet.
Oh, my goodness.
I really want
penguins not getting struck by lightning.
Just our luck.
Well, thank you both for coming on. I enjoyed this time. I cannot wait to see you guys tomorrow at the theater. Hey, guys, we're still here on the red carpet, and we are interviewing some really amazing people along the way today. And today we have Armando, who plays the villain of the movie, and we're going to talk to him about what he loves about his role. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
This is my first red carpet. I'm pretty impressed. Are you having fun tonight?
Yeah, this is great. I mean, the movie's awesome. I think everyone's going to be surprised with it. It's a fun journey. You'll believe in mermaids after you watch it. So we're just happy to be here and happy that most of the cast showed up. So.
Well, I'll tell you, you can't ask for a better place to have a mermaid premiere than Tampa. We're surrounded by the Gulf and everything else. So,
no, this historic Tampa theater, I mean, it's got an amazing history, and it's really an honor to have the premiere here.
So tell me a little bit about your character and what were some of the things that you had to do to make him be believable?
Well, Locke is a very, very dark character. And I mean, from the minute I read the script, I knew he was a mysterious person that, you know, he didn't say many words until later on in the story, but you knew that a lot was going on upstairs. And the journey that you take with Locke, considering he runs a circus and he's enslaved, you know, the mermaid amongst other characters. So you're trying to figure out what his motive is the entire time. Why did he decide to enslave Elizabeth? Why did he, you know, trap this mermaid? And as the story develops, you realize why. And then you'll see the entire arc of that character at the end where he was just after more power. So,
well, I know to be a villain, you have to take it to the next level because you got to make people hate you. You can't be lovable at everything else. So what did you have to do to make yourself stand out and make people want to hate you?
I mean, the first thing I did was actually just research, like, the top villains in a lot of movies, you know, like, you know, the Jack Nicholson characters, and then I started researching a real life villains and just seeing what kind of personality traits that they all had in common, and then just started, you know, playing around with the character, and then, you know, worked with the director a lot to figure out a good arc for him, and, you know, it just happened.
So after doing this role, was there anything that you would have done better after seeing yourself, or were you pretty pleased with the tire?
I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I you know, tried a lot of different things. I mean, there's a lot of action in the movie. I think the wizardy powers, I was, you know, it's not too Harry Potter. It's not, you know, so it felt very believable. And I think people are going to enjoy it.
I love the fact that it's not the Disney version. And when I first heard about it, it was coming out, I thought it was the Disney version live action. Right. But it's actually the Hans Christian Andersen version. Did you ever hear about this version before you read the script?
Oh, yeah. I've read a lot of his fairy tales. And I think showing people a retelling of the original fairy tale is actually what makes it so interesting. Because everyone knows the Little Mermaid story, you know, or at least the big pieces of it. But to see it in a circus environment was very unique.
In the circus environment, a lot of times the circus freaks people out, so that kind of gives it that extra weirdness and the fun behind it, I would think.
No, it's fun. I mean, you'll get to see a lot of personalities. You'll get to see animals, elephants. I mean, you'll feel like you're in a real life circus. So,
and despite being a villain, you have to find something that you like in your character. What did you like about your character that maybe was overlooked by everybody else?
Oh, my hat. I missed that hat. That hat was awesome. No, they gave me a really cool top hat with a cane, you know, a nice little beard. I think that's what I missed the most, wearing that hat. I felt like I was stuck in a circus.
And what do you hope people take away from this movie? What do you hope that they get out of it?
The dreams can come true. I mean, it really helps you. I mean, the mermaid, you know, believed that she could have a better life outside of the circus and you know, took everybody on a journey of dreaming for something else. I mean, dreaming for love, dreaming for happiness, you know, friends, family. And I think you watch this movie and you're going to believe that you can dream. So,
well, Armando, thank you for coming out and sharing this with us. I cannot believe I get to actually celebrate this with you guys, because I saw the movie and I'm like, I have to go see this when it comes out. And now I get to share it with the people that made it. So this is extra special for me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out. I appreciate it. And now you get to see it again.
Well, congratulations. Good luck. And we look forward to seeing this thing together.
Thank you again.
And we are here on the red carpet with Blake. He's one of the producers of The Little Mermaid, which we are going to be premiering here tonight. So welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Fun night, isn't it? You get to walk the red carpet. You get to see the production of your work come together and finalize and how people are going to react to it.
I think everybody's going to love it, you know, because it's one of those indie films that are really, really hits home. And it's heartwarming and it's magical. And it's, you know, that belief in something is really going to strike into everybody's, you know. So I think it's, you know, a lot of people are going to love it.
Well, I know everybody's going to have the preconcepted notion of the Disney's Little Mermaid. So what did you do to make it stand away from that?
We kept it towards the book. You know, there's no Ariel or Sebastian, you know, no talking crabs. But it's more along the lines of the book and Hans Christian Andersen, you know, what he did with that in 1837. And, you know, ours is based in 1930s. But at the same time, you know, we kept very true to the book story.
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen some of the production work on it. I've seen the previews, and I was absolutely captivated by it. You guys did a phenomenal job on the artistry of this thing. I hope that everybody that sees this will understand how magical this really is. And I heard that you guys don't use CGI for this, which is even more intense. So tell me about did that put a little bit more pressure on you?
It did. You know, all the underwater scenes are all real lighting. Everything's real. There's no fake anything in the underwater scenes. And, you know, it was tough. We filmed it all in Wikiwashi, though, so that was really cool, coming back to Florida and being able to film. You know, I'm from born and raised here in Tampa, so being able to film only an hour north was pretty awesome. So,
what's one of the biggest challenges you had in the final production of this movie when it was going through? Did you run into anything, and how'd you overcome it?
Just, you know, visual effects. It took a little bit longer, but it was great. You know, it was meant to take longer, I guess, because we were able to get a better product.
And Poppy and William, what did they bring to the elements of this movie?
Professionalism and the will to want to do this film. I mean, they loved it so much, and they loved the script so much, and so they brought that onto the set. And, you know, they were tremendous.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you for having me here. I cannot believe I get to actually see what the preview I saw. I get to watch it in front of my face, and I get to watch it with the people that created it and made the magic happen. So thank you so much for coming here today and inviting me.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual, fantasy creatures or urban legends? Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey everybody, this is Jason, and I have something I want to talk to you guys about. Last year, as you know, somebody in my family suffered a stroke. These things come on unannounced, and it can cost you your life. Why? Because it's usually from high blood pressure or clots, and you don't know you have these problems because it generally has no symptoms. One way to ensure that you don't have high blood pressure is to test it regularly. But who has the time to do it? You have to sit down, strap a blood pressure cuff on, and take the test. And they're bulky and hard to travel with. Now there's a product called Hilo LX. The stylish piece of technology not only looks good, but it tests your vitals all the time on demand. Check your blood pressure, see how many steps you've done, see your heart rate, see how much sleep you get, how many calories you burn. It checks it all while you do what you want to do. Then you can check the results right on an app on your phone. I bought it for my family members, and you should too. To get yours, go to amemagazine.worldgn.com and get it, or any of their stylish accessories. In doing so, you'll invest in your health and help the AME experience get our word out and be the voice of artists everywhere. So what are you waiting for? That address again is amemagazine.worldgn.com.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion, and I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House. I just want to say Fuller House Season 4, it's coming to Netflix real soon, so be sure to tune in sometime towards the end of the year. Thank you, guys.
Hi there, this is Kim Coles, and you can find my newest book, Open Your Gifts, at openyourgiftsbook.com. That's www.openyourgiftsbook.com. I hope you'll pick up a copy. Would love to have you read it. Bye.
Hey, everyone. It's Lulu Ambrose from Stuck in the Middle, and you are listening to AME Radio Show.
Welcome back, everybody, and I wanted to remind you guys that the interview you just heard were from the red carpet, and you'll be able to see me actually interview these people at the red carpet premiere of The Little Mermaid at the Tampa Theater on our television show. It's the red carpet special, just like this radio show is. It's a red carpet special. It's all about this premiere, and I got to tell you guys, this was one amazing experience I will never, ever, ever forget. Not only did I get to interview these people and I got to see how the red carpet works, I got to enjoy the movie with them sitting right next to me in a theater that I have loved because it's such a work of art. And I got to really see the movie for what it was. And I'm going to be reviewing that here in just a second to close out the show. But I also got to sit with these with the stars, William and Poppy and Blake and Armando, in the green room behind the scenes. And I talked to them about so many different things. It wasn't me talking to a celebrity. It was Poppy or William or Blake or Armando talking to me just as you and me would sit down and talk. And it was so much fun and refreshing. And I realized that these guys are just wonderful people inside and out. And I think I made some friends along the way, and I couldn't ask for more. And I also want to give a shout out to some amazing ladies, Amy and Sherry. You know, they made this possible. They thought of me, and I am very thankful for it. And we've had a long working relationship on here on the AME experience. They are part of the AME family. And it was so nice to be able to meet you and put a face to the voice. And I look forward to a lot of amazing things along the way. Okay, guys, so let me give you a little brief synopsis of this movie. And I gotta say, it was probably one of the most artistic movies I've seen in a long time. Not that every movie isn't, but it wasn't done with CGI. And it wasn't done with blowing up things. It was a wonderful story that was taken from the Hans Christian Andersen novel written in the 1820s and adapted to fit the kind of like a modern perception of the book. However, it stayed true to the book. Trust me, it was a lot of great things along the way. They did a masterful job at the on the writing of the script. It really, it touched so many emotions. It had love, it had hate, it had fear, it had drama, it had everything that you could experience in one movie. It also omitted a lot of things that you just couldn't bring your children to. So I don't think I heard one curse word in this movie or one suggestive scene that I'd have to cover up my kids' eyes or ears so they didn't hear it. And that is refreshing. It had a wonderful cast. They did a great job casting this. And from a photographer's point of view, the lighting was amazing. The scenery was amazing. And I even love the fact that they took the circus. Now, the circus can give you a lot of either wonderful vibes or a creepy vibe. And they brought the creepiness into it. They didn't overkill it, so it wouldn't give you nightmares or anything. But I'll tell you what, they brought the creep. And Armando played one of the most amazing villains I've ever seen. He was fluent. He was you wanted to like him. He had that charm to him, but yet you knew he'd stab you in the back. He did a great job. Poppy was a beautiful mermaid, and you could see the frustration inside of her, the lost feeling that she had as her soul was captured. And that she was technically like a slave to this person, and how she could make this world so beautiful just by her presence, but she's being contained from the rest of the world and used as a sideshow. And William, man, I'll tell you what a great character he played. It was a compassionate guy for his niece. You could see that he loved his niece, and he would walk to the ends of the world, and he had a caring heart, and he fell for Poppy. He wanted to help her. And he was able to get past his skepticism to realize that mermaids exist. Did they fall in love? I'm not going to tell you that. Are they together? I'm not going to tell you that either. Did his niece survive? I'm not going to tell you that. You have to go see this movie to find that out yourself. But what I will tell you is that I give this movie a 5-star rating. It was a wonderful across the board. And I even like that they were able to bring back the style of movie like you'd see with Never Ending Story or The Princess Bride, where they go from like real life today back to the book and real life today back to the book. Great stuff, man. And I also found out that Blake is working on a brand new movie called Anastasia from the adaptation of the book and, of course, the cartoon as well. So if he did anything like he did with this movie, that's going to be a hit too. And this is Blake's first movie. Congratulations, Blake. You did a great job. You hit it out of the ballpark. I strongly recommend everybody that has the chance to go see this movie in a theater. It's in over 100 theaters across the United States. And I'm sure it will be on DVD. And if it does, and if you miss it, please go buy it on DVD. This is something you're going to want to have in your family for a long time. It's a family movie. And I really hope it wins some Oscars or something along the way. And I hope that the actors and the writers get nominated too. All right, guys, I'm going to leave you here with a few minutes of Dreamweaver, because this movie was like a dream. What I just experienced was a dream for me, and the song fit. All right, so join us again tomorrow, or if you can't make it tomorrow, join us again next week. We have two great guests per show. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, too. You can find us on AMFM247.com and on their 11 AMFM stations every Friday at 6 a.m. and every Saturday at 5 p.m. You can also find us on WKLAP every Friday at 12 p.m. and every Saturday at 7 p.m. You can find us at RadioLove.com every Saturday at 9 p.m., PhoenixBroadcasting.com, iHeart, and iTunes On Demand as well. All right, guys, keep those creative juices flowing. Here's Dreamweaver, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.